Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
From Shogun, the former UFC light heavyweight champion, Mauricio Shogun Uwa!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
We're going to have a good time today, buddy. We're going to catch up.
Yes, sir.
Once that little bird flies in, we're going to catch up. There's a bird coming in. You know that.
What?
There's a little bird coming in!
From where? What?
Oh, wait, did I hear him? He might have fell out of a nest. I'm sorry, Jens. I don't want to confuse you. I called Jimmy my little bird.
Okay.
Kind of resembles a little fucking little. Oh, Jimmy.
Good evening.
Hey, guys.
Jimmy.
I
didn't know you were.
Were you commenting on my appearance, Matt?
No.
Nothing to do with a bird. A bird. He was in mid-peck at the time.
I affectionately call you my little bird. It's not a big. So like
I don't mind it. I think it's a fine nickname.
Me too. Hey, we got the great Jens Paul. We're starting the podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome to you. No, you say it.
No, you did it. You're already doing it. I want to hear you do it.
To UFC Unfiltered. We got the great, besides me and my little bird Jimmy, we have the great, the legend, the pioneer, little evil Jens Pover with us today.
How's everybody? How you doing? Everybody doing well?
How are you, man?
Jen, you're such a gamer that you're lean forward again. Your chair has your name on it. Your gamer chair.
That's a gamer chair too.
Oh, it was a lifesaver. The chair itself, very long armrests, so I have my arms up a lot higher. When that was one of the issues before, the armrests were so low, it was uncomfortable. Yeah, they're up high, nice level. Yeah, it's gotta have those arms. You sit at this chair for. I'm here for a long time.
How many hours will you spend in the chair? How many hours will you spend?
I don't like to admit it, but it's got to be close to eight hours.
That's a work day. That's a work day. You're working.
Well, yeah, because, you know, we got the stream. We usually try to go. They always say about 4 hours, Twitch TV, UFC, right? We're breaking down fights, and I end up going 6-7 hours. I pause a lot. I'm talking. Yeah. I'm go figure, right, Matt? Go figure. I'm talking. And, yeah, so I'm in this chair a lot, but I do take time to lift. I'm having a lot of fun lifting and everything.
You're lifting now, Jens.
I'm shooting for 215 pounds, buddy.
What are you now?
I was 197 when the last time I had to get weighed in.
Why are you trying to get beefy?
Well, because there's this little judo fella that I love more than anything. I'm really big into judo. I mean, sumo. Sorry, sumo. Oh. Really big into sumo. And Enho is 215 pounds, 5'6". And watching him try to battle the biggins, like, you know, I want to see if I can get to 200 pounds. So I just start lifting and, you know, the whole COVID thing. And I've just been lifting. So I just kept lifting and So, and I mean, when I say COVID, I had COVID, then I had pneumonia. And then I was like, you know, I just started lifting. It's like, because I spent so much time in a chair, they talk about how, you know, it's not a good thing. So like, well, I'll try to counteract that and I'll lift weights and, you know, try to be athletic a little bit.
What about the martial arts? Why now all of a sudden you're becoming a meathead, Jens Pulver? What about the beautiful art of jujitsu? You're known for your left hook. What about all your boxing? You don't like to do that to stay in shape.
I'm getting back to that. I'm working my way back to it. But if you start feeling good, then it's kind of, I could say you start these exhibition boxing matches that are happening out there. Yeah. You know, I'm just a phone call away of saying hey. So I'm like, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to put braces on my teeth and I'm just going to lift weights and just relax. I'm not going to convince myself that I'm still young enough to try and do this.
Are you amazed that guys are still fighting? Like Shogun's on today. He's 40. There's a lot of guys fighting 40, 41 years old now. What do you attribute that to? Is it just that the recoveries are better or the performance center? What do you think it is? That's
I think we're doing
people?
A better job of one, just growing the way that we eat our food, the way that we treat our bodies. I think I remember being told a long time ago, 40 was like a death sentence, right?
Yeah.
When we were first starting, everybody's like, man, you hit 40, it's done. It's done. And then so as a kid in my 20s, I'm thinking, good Lord, 40. But I don't know how they lived, but I'm just telling you, it's a different world. I've never felt so good at 47 years old. It's like, I can't believe I thought we were supposed to be, something was supposed to hurt. Something was supposed to be wrong, but it's a feeling. So the ones that are sticking with it, more power to them.
Well, I think we have Shogun in the waiting room right now.
Is he here?
Is he?
Oh, he's ready. Yeah. Bring him in.
Bring him in. There he is.
Hello.
Translator, I believe.
Yes.
How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I'm so happy that Shogun is still fighting because I enjoy his fights since, I'll tell you, for as long as he's been fighting. How does he feel at 40 years old?
No, too much. Well, I feel good. I feel like I still have fuel to burn. And I have people around me that peak at 40, you know, so that's motivation. And I'm very happy to be fighting and motivated to perform and do my best. And thank God as long as I'm healthy, I hope to be able to do a good final run in my career.
And how did this fight come about with OSP? How did this rematch come about? It's been, I think, 8 years since the first fight. Was this a fight you always wanted to kind of get back?
Well, yeah, that rematch actually was supposed to happen a few years ago in Japan. And I got injured a week before the fight and had to pull out. So it was bound to happen eventually. You know, it took a while to happen again, but then the UFC decided wanted to do it again now. So we're happy to take it.
Do you worry about a guy who's coming off a couple of straight losses, kind of feeling like he has to win this fight? Do you worry about him coming in and fighting with a little more desperation, or does that not concern you at all?
Actually, that doesn't bother me because every time I go into a fight, I go in there wanting to win, and it's the same for every fighter. It doesn't really change that much. I'm sure Sampru is going to try his best to win either way, and so am I. So I'm going to do my best, and it's a fight, no problem.
You know, when you live in the fight life for as long as Shogun has, it becomes part of who you are. Being 40 years old, I hope he fights for another 10 years, but let's say when it is over, what is his plans? Does he plan on opening a school, teaching? What are the plans for after fighting?
No. Well, actually, when I retire, I won't want to really run a gym or work teaching or really directly with fighting, because in Brazil, unfortunately, running a gym is very, very hard business. It's not very profitable. And I'll occupy myself for sure with other things, but mostly on the business side. I already have some business set up and some things going, you know, that I'm taking care of that are non-fighting related. So that's likely where I'm going to really focus my time. But obviously, I'll stay connected to the fight game somehow because it's part of who I am and something I love.
Do you think the guys, you know, your first fight was 20 years ago. Your first professional fight was 20 years ago. And I know Jens, I think yours was 99, and Matt, yours was around that time, I guess. Are you guys amazed at how much more, like, people are taking this so much younger now? They're starting at such a younger age, becoming kind of complete mixed martial artists. Do you think that the guys coming up now are more advanced and technical than the guys who started 20 years ago?
Well, yeah, I think fighters who are starting out now, they'll be, or soon they'll be, or they are more complete in a sense as fighters, because now they're preparing themselves from an early age to be an MMA fighter. And so they're training everything since they're kids. When I was young, I started training jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai because I love, not because I wanted to be an MMA fighter. You know, it all happened as a consequence of that. But now it's like a goal, you know, it's like a career. People start wanting to develop themselves, kids, for that. So I think, yeah, most likely they'll become more complete, you know.
Are you surprised that you're competing still at such a high level at age 40? We talked also about how the longevity of fighters is so much more now than it was 10 years ago or 15 years ago. When you were 25 and 30 years old, did you expect to be competing this long, like, you know, a high level competing?
No, I never thought I would be fighting at 40 when I was younger. I never really thought about it. You know, I was just carrying on. And I'm very fortunate to be able to perform and do my profession at this level at 40. And feel good about it, but I put on my mind that I'm going to do 2 fights and then retire. That's my goal. So it's just 2 last fights, and then I'm going to walk out, and I'm in good terms with that.
Now, whether after you retire or not, even when you're fighting still, so I always enjoyed Shogun's ground game. I always enjoyed his jiu-jitsu. Everything. I enjoy his knees, his punches, but I enjoy his jiu-jitsu. I'm a jiu-jitsu man. Do you think he would be open to ever having a submission match, a jiu-jitsu match? No-gi submission grappling is at an all-time high now. Do you think he would ever have a grappling match?
Before I translate, I might add, because I'm also his manager, that we have had requests already.
Oh, so,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but let's see what he says.
Okay.
Eu acho que não.
So we all have our answer now. He said no. I never thought about it or wanted it. And I don't want, when I retire, I'm going to retire. I don't want to go anywhere else, do any kind of fighting, and that's going to be it.
Okay, very cool.
Did Dana's comments after, it might have been after the Craig loss, did Dana's comments about you retiring affect you, or do you not let something like that bother you?
No,
it doesn't really bother me. And also, in the last fight, I injured my arm early on in the fight, my elbow, and that really hindered my fighting capability there. And I think when Dana did those comments, he wasn't even aware of my injury, you know. So later on, I had the chance to talk to him and explain my injury and tell him that I wanted to do 2 fights. So, I mean, it is what it is, you know. It doesn't really bother me, and it goes on.
And how happy are you to be fighting in front of a crowd again? And did you, some guys, you know, because you train with no crowd, did it bother you to fight in front of no crowd? Was that hard to get used to, or did you not care at all?
No, so
again, it doesn't really matter too much, because in the end, I'm a UFC fighter, so I have to fight wherever they want me to fight and whatever the conditions are. But fighting without a crowd had the pros and cons. It was kind of different experience, because it felt a little bit like a sparring session at the gym of some sorts, you know. But at the same time, I'm very happy now to be part of a great show with a big card, you know, and at the crowd back, because in the end, it's what we love, you know.
And I just have one more question, unless Jens or Matt has a question. I would like to know, you said you want 2 more fights. What is the perfect scenario for you? On who now with 2 fights? I guess this is including OSP, or is this 2 fights after this?
It's including it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, what would be the ideal situation for you if you're to win this fight? What's the perfect last fight for you to have?
Well, actually, it doesn't really bother me. Like, whatever thank God I'm well received and well liked everywhere in the world. So wherever the fight end up landing, you know, and whenever it happens, I just hope it happens in the best way. You know, hopefully win this fight and then be able to have a proper training camp, you know, time and do it the right way. And whatever it is, I mean, we'll see after the fight. We'll think now. It's not the time to think about it.
Okay. And I do have one more question. When you at 40 and you still look healthy and good, when you see Glover doing what he's doing, I think at 41, does that make you think that maybe you might want more than two fights if they both go your way and if you feel good after both?
I don't know. But I think I set my mind already.
Okay, two more fights. Well, Matt, hey,
last question. How much do you miss the soccer kicks from Glover? How much do you miss those?
Muito. A lot.
I bet you do. Well, listen, man. Jen, do you have anything else?
No, I mean, the biggest thing is I had to sit there and I was just fanning. I was fanboying because, I mean, it's Shogun. It's like, oh, you know, so I just said, I think the biggest thing is, so it's just, you know, Charles Oliveira should face Conor McGregor at welterweight after he defeated Dustin Poirier to retain the heavyweight. Do you think that fight could really happen if Oliveira beats Gaethje?
Yeah, for sure. I think Charles deserves this. You know, he has been winning consistently at such high level and such great fights for so long already. It's not something that happened the other night, you know. So I think Charles deserves this opportunity, you know. It's I mean, everybody knows what this means, you know. So give it to him.
Shit. Yeah. Give him that paycheck. Give it to him.
Thank you so much, Shogun. You're a legend and such an honor to talk to you and have a great fight against Ovince St. Preux on Saturday night.
Thank you very much, guys.
UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Neds, the official wagering partner of the UFC in Australia. Aussie fight fans, keep an eye out for this weekend's UFC pay-per-view event as Neds offers a split decision return. This means if you place a head-to-head bet on any main card fight and your pick loses by split decision, Neds will pay you out as a winner. Plus, you can pump up your odds with a UFC multi simply by combining your favorite markets across all fights on the card. The action doesn't stop with UFC. Neds has everything you need to take it to the Neds level, regardless of what you bet on. For those sports punters, Neds Same Game Multi is now available on more sports than ever before. And for the racing fanatics, Neds Blended is available on all three racing codes. Blended lets you pick multiple runners to win in the same race at special blended odds. It's never been easier for you to be paid out as a winner. Look, whatever you bet on, take it to the Neds level. UFC markets exclude South Australian residents. Split decision return eligible on first $250 staked. Minimum blended odds are $1.10. Terms and conditions apply are available on the Neds website. Remember to always gamble responsibly. Please call 1-800-858-858. You put in the work training at the gym, on the court, at the track, wherever you go. You push your body to the limit. Now maximize your results. Discover how to unlock your inner champion with Thorne's high-performance sports nutrition line. With the most comprehensive line of NSF certified for sport products on the market, Thorne is the unquestioned leader in both quality and innovation in sports nutrition. With pre-built fitness bundles like Thorne's training bundle, you can jumpstart your training and fitness routines and help take your performance to the next level. Don't trust your body to anything else. Choose the supplement brand with the extensive third-party testing and the highest level of certification recognized in pro sports. Choose Thorne, the official sports performance nutrition partner of the UFC. Visit Thorne.com and use the promo code UFC10. That's T-E-N for 10% off. That's promo code UFC10 and you get 10% off. And Matt and I get the credit, and that's all that matters.
Hey, I like that Shogun, man. I'll tell you right now, he says, F that, no more jiu-jitsu matches or anything. He's like, nah, I didn't even think about it. I don't want to. I love his jiu-jitsu. He's like, no. He's like, when I'm out, I'm out.
Now, do you think you'll be able to do that? Now, it's one of those things that when people say that, right, it's, I'm going to use Cejudo, especially at such a young age. I'm done. But then it's like, a, you know, McGregor at one point. Now we're talking when he hit that 40. But when that clock, like it'll run out at some point. And as we get up to that age, right, it kind of hits. Do you think it? Do you think they walk away or got to come back and try something?
I don't know, man. Like I walked away. I never had a second.
Same thing.
A second thought. And I was 36 when I walked away. And I'm looking at this card now. And I remember, Jens. And Jimmy, when I was 35, about to fight Frank Trigg, and I won that one, by the way.
Yes, you did. Do you regret that fight, Matt?
No. But Jens, I don't know if you've seen that fight, though, but I put him unconscious. But I don't want to brag.
My man. But, you got to brag a little bit.
Let me go back there. That's not the point. It's not the point of the story, though. Jimmy, he always brings that up. But my point is, I was 35 for that fight. And I remember, I didn't know it, but that week, I was getting interviewed it all week long. They're like, hey, how does it feel to be like the second oldest guy? And besides, wow. The main event was Coleman versus Couture. He's like, besides Coleman into Couture, how do you feel being the second oldest? I go, fuck. I wasn't even thinking about it until then. Just then, I'm like, wow, I guess I am 35. So when I look now, and I'm looking on this card over the weekend, and I'm looking at Tony Ferguson, 38. I'm looking at Michael Chandler, who's going to be on soon, who is 36. I'm looking at a 40-year-old Shogun, and OSP, 39.
Yeah.
And then you look at the youngins, Donald Cerrone at 39, excuse me.
Yeah.
And Joe Lozano at
37.
We got some vets on this card, man.
It's crazy.
Father Time, undefeated. These guys, I wonder if they're getting the same shit that I got that week. And we're probably going to give it to him too.
You know, the question was, and I was going to ask, and I wanted to ask, him that question was, people treat you differently in practice. You become that, you know, it's one thing when you're the rookie and you've got all this, the rookies, the fireball, then you're just kind of the maintainer. But then it's the old man, how much time do you have? And they start almost reminding you, by the way, you do know you're old. You know you're old, right? You're old. You know you're old. You should be finishing up. And you're kind of, and like, does it sit in with some people? And I could almost ask anybody on here, anybody, and once you hit, like you said, 35 years old, people start looking at going, do you know you're old? And then it becomes this miracle that you're still fighting. And how do you feel? But it is weird because now we're talking to people in their 40s going, do you know you're old? And then you got to throw in that Glover Teixeira who's winning belts. It's like, hey, where are those people that remind us all the time? Do you know you're old? You know you're old, right? You're old. And you start to hear that at the end. And it's kind of, how does that sink into your head? You know what I mean?
To mess with you, man. Hey, man, my wife's 38. She's having her second amateur kickboxing match.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, what? Yeah, isn't that nice?
Going just opposite, going to go I figured it'd be a grappling match, right?
No. She's a white belt in jiu-jitsu. She's practicing that too. She's going later. But she was late to the game with the kickboxing. She had, I think it's not like how old like the car is. It's how many miles you got on it type of thing. Like my wife didn't abuse her body like when she was younger. She didn't do any sports whatsoever. So after she had kids, she would do the kickboxing to lose weight. She fell in love with it. And I really admire that. And she's sparring at the school and stuff. It's really cool. You know?
I think there's something mentally, you could almost ask every one of them on this card on the older side is just what motivates you? What's the difference now? Are you trying to repair things that you did? Try to repair some things that happened in the back? Are you fighting for something? Are you looking down the road? Or are you just doing the now? You know what I mean? And that'd be something definitely with Cowboy and Joe Lozon. I remember Joe when he knocked me out for crying out loud. It's like the only fight I had of Joe Lozon, he was fighting his brother at Thanksgiving in the backyard by the fireplace. And I'm like, wait, who is this kid? You just knew, you know, he had this bright future. But it's like, what motivates you now? Obviously, when you were younger, just the whole, like, everything was fresh and running. But what carries those fighters that still love, like Glover Teixeira would be phenomenal to talk about. I remember we were doing the UFC stream and I'm watching an old WEC and Glover Teixeira pops on with hair. I was like, what? Look at him. You know, I think he had to be 32, 33 years old, but it's just crazy. You're looking at this fight and you're going, you know, hey, by the way, if I could whisper in your ear now, 32-year-old Glover, you're going to be world champion, but you're going to be in your 40s when you do it. I bet you he'd laugh in your face.
Do you, and Jen, you mentioned getting guys getting treated different in the gym too. Is there ever a case when a guy is such a big name in the gym, or like you said, you look at someone who's a legend, do guys ever not go at them as hard in the gym because they respect them too much, or because they're looking at them with a certain, you know, you idolize a guy growing up. Does that ever change the way somebody trains with somebody?
You know, I think there's a fine line. So it just depends how new they are. They'll come diving in and, you know, and they're going to be gung ho and they're going to try to make a name. Ooh, I'm going against. And it's like, hey, we're going light here, right? We're warming up, you know, or then you have the other ones. It's been so routine. And I think that's one thing, having the constant same people that you spar with. And it's such a routine and it's so hard to get out of it after a long time, you know. And then every now and then you can't be whooping up on the youngsters because, hey, they're not going to want to train here no more. Stop that. You know, so you're in that fine line. But I think that's the biggest thing, is every now and then it's just, you'll have some that go after you hard and some that'll just kind of sit back and like, don't dent the quarterback. He's got the jersey on. Right. I don't want to, you know, and they just kind of treat you. But you always get that, hey, old man. And when you're younger, you're laughing. But when you're older, you're thinking, man, I really am. And it's, I don't know if it's, maybe one of you could answer that would be, you know, it's like, do you start counting it down in your own head? Man, I've only got one left. I've only got two left. Do you just feel yourself just kind of shortening the rope?
Well, we could ask Mike Chandler when he comes on. He's 36. I don't want to turn to negative film and be like, yo, you're getting old, Mikey.
But yeah, right.
You're like, no, I mean, because that guy's a phenomenal athlete. And the thing, what's interesting about Michael Chandler is he's coming off two losses. And in both those fights, he came close to winning them and he was close to being the champion. He was close to beating Gaethje in a fight of the night, fight of the year candidate. So, you know, it, the record, you're like, oh man, he's on a two fight skid. It's like, well, yes and no. He could have won both of those fights. And he showed that it's not that he could have won each. He was on the brink.
The fact that Oliveira came back and did what he did was insane, y'all. And that's kind of the one thing you got to touch on when it comes to Chandler fighting Ferguson, is just kind of how much does Ferguson have left in the tank and just how explosive. I was just watching on Instagram, I think, or Twitter, the workout of Chandler walking down that football field, doing the rows, doing the lunges, doing it, just keep going down this field. And he's so explosive. Right. Yeah. And that's going to be with him and Ferguson, you know, I guess.
What do you think too of the, and then Jen, you talk about analyzing fights. We pick fights most weeks. It's really fucking hard to pick fights accurately. Sometimes you just say, look, this guy's due for a win. It's, you know, I'm really not great at it. How is your success at picking fights?
Well, it's pretty good because I don't actually pick one side or the other. I just, as we're watching the fights, I'm like, if they do this, I could see this happening.
Right.
And if this fighter does this, I can see this happening. They're like, pick one. I go, I don't know if I can. I just can't, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to jinx them, or, you know, unless of course it's a personal one, then, you know, I'll have to, you know, out of loyalty. But that's kind of the thing when you're watching it, I'm having more fun. If this fighter does this, then this will happen. And if this fighter does this, then this could happen. And that always makes it interesting to see if you can pick that.
Yeah. I get it. I understand. You're a bullshit artist. Did you bullshit this week?
But it's not BSing. It's not really BSing, no, because you're trying to be neutral. You got to be neutral, Mr. Sarah.
We're picking.
I don't actually.
You're on the fence until he goes, oh, look, he's on the floor killing him. Oh, if he does another right hand, I knew he'd get it.
Nope. I'm just more about the, if he can do this, this, and this, and he makes his way, then that could be a win for him. But I try to stay as neutral as possible just because they're both fighting in the UFC. And I have the, you know, I'm on Twitch TV set. I'm on the UFC stream and we're breaking out fights. It's kind of like, this one's terrible. I can't do that.
You're right. You know?
I think Oliveira is a very brutal matchup for anybody. Makhachev maybe has a shot, but as great as Gaethje is, I think Alec Oliveira is a very tough matchup. And I think Oliveira would be a very tough matchup for Connor too. I would rather see, as a fan, Gaethje Connor. That's a fight I've wanted for years. But I think that Gaethje Oliveira or Oliveira Connor are bad matches up for both of those guys. You know,
Michael Chandler's in the waiting.
Yes, let's bring in the great party. Michael Chandler.
Fucking party, man. Let's go, Jens Pulver. Let's go.
Yeah, I love this. I love this. Yeah, I'm just fanboy. I'm going to just look at.
Oh, Jen, that's what they do to you. That's what we do when we see you, Jens Pulver.
This episode of UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Crypto.com, the official crypto partner of UFC. You've definitely seen their logo on our UFC gear. And crypto is something I'm getting into, so this is really a helpful, helpful site. With over 10 million users around the world, Crypto.com is the fastest growing crypto app, letting you easily buy and sell more than 150 cryptocurrencies. You can even buy Bitcoin with as little as $1. Crypto.com also offers the most popular crypto card in the world. The Crypto.com Visa card offers up to 8% back on most purchases, and it comes with amazing perks. 100% rebate for your Netflix, Spotify, and Amazon Prime subscriptions. If you already own some crypto, did you know that Crypto.com offers some of the most competitive reward rates of the industry? You can get up to 8.5% on your Bitcoin or Ethereum, 12% on your USDC, and more. Find out how much you can earn by visiting Crypto.com. Get $25 when you apply for a Crypto.com metal Visa card on the Crypto.com app using code UFC25. Again, it's $25 when you apply for the card using code UFC25. It's first come, first serve, so act fast. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What's up, Michael Chandler?
What's up, boys?
How are you? Looking good.
Oh, man, I'm trying, you know. Just by week shenanigans.
Shit, man. Oh, yeah. You don't age. Because we're talking about age, and I don't know how it is for you, but when I was 35, mind you, again, I was fight week, I was fighting Frank Trigg, and people kept asking me, oh, man, you know, you're 35 now, and we got Coleman on the card. He's older than you, but how are you feeling? I'm like, what the fuck? I felt fine at the time, and it was just then I started thinking, oh, man, people are bringing up my age. Now, like I'm doing to you now, like an asshole. But
yeah.
You look ageless. Like, you know, I mean, you look like you're not aging at all. Do people bring it up to you? Or am I the first guy saying that?
They do. And it's actually funny, too. I feel very happy with my road that I took to get to the UFC. Obviously, I was introduced to the masses as a 34-year-old. You know, I was 34 years old when I signed with the UFC. So now a lot of people have had no idea I was this seasoned of a veteran. That, you know, I just celebrated my 36th birthday. But man, I feel great. I do, honestly. And obviously, as you know, as Jens would know, as an athlete, you try to not think about your age as much as possible, because that's what everybody always says. The only undefeated fighter is Father Time, right? Father Time is undefeated. So eventually he will catch up to you. And I've always said, I want to go out before I'm supposed to. When people think I got a lot left in the tank, but I've just taken really good care of my body. I've trained and taken care of myself like a professional athlete for the last 20 years. And it's worked out really well thus far.
And you do know, too, I hope that you really quickly become a fan favorite, because even though you had a couple of losses, they were like when Gaethje lost, his stock didn't go down. People wanted to see him fight just as much the next time he fought. So you know that in your last couple of fights, people have not lost zero interest in watching you fight. Like, they want to watch you now probably even more than they did before.
Yeah. And that's actually been kind of true throughout my career. You know, any losses that I've ever had, there's always been this feeling that whether it was a phenomenal fight or a weird set of circumstances or an injury, everybody was chomping at the bit to see me get back into the cage and fight. And I do think it started to make me realize, as human beings, we don't follow people because they're undefeated or they're perfect or they are invincible. Right. We follow people because they have setbacks, because people can relate to that. We follow people because they do have failures, because they can see that failure in themselves, and they've seen how they pull themselves out of the valleys. And it's just a testament to the sport of mixed martial arts, and that's why people love it, man. Nobody in this sport goes undefeated unless you're not truly, truly challenging yourself. And that's why people love it. And I love my story. I love the losses that I have, Obviously, I love all the wins a little bit more, but I am thankful for the losses because they have made me who I am today.
Okay, so what these? I mean, you're fighting Ferguson, right? Here coming up, and it's like, so now the way you push yourself, why would you fight someone you call a certified lunatic? Does that push you, motivate you when you're out there training?
It does, and it's a great question. But you know, obviously, you know, we are all victims of time and circumstance. You know, these fights get matched depending on what circumstances are going on. Obviously, Tony and I both needed a fight. A lot of people were booked. Other fighters were moving up weight classes, trying to fight other guys. Tony was the first name on my list of guys that I wanted to fight when I came into the UFC about, you know, almost 2 years ago. And he turned the fight down in October. I ended up fighting, you know, Dan Hooker in January, whatever. And here we are now. But I mean, Tony is a certified one of one fighter. He's hard to prepare for. There's nobody in my gym that can emulate Tony Ferguson. Even Tony Ferguson can't emulate Tony Ferguson because his last fight's going to be different than the fight before that, and definitely going to be different than this one, the way that he approaches it, the techniques and the unorthodox nature in which he fights. So I'm expecting the unexpected, and I want to go in there and negotiate and manage the fight as I see fit and let my training take over.
And you've had a period in your career before where you had dropped three and then you came back and won. What do you do mentally to keep yourself from going into a bad place, or how do you motivate yourself to kind of keep your confidence where it needs to be?
It's a good question because, yeah, I did lose a large amount of confidence back in the day. I went 688 days without winning a fight. And obviously, coming from a wrestling background, we had a very short-term memory because you lose a match on Tuesday, you can get back in the win column on Thursday or Friday or Saturday at a tournament, and you can right that wrong. You can right the ship. In the sport of mixed martial arts, it's 3 to 6 to 8 months between fights. So there's a lot of time in between where self-doubt can creep in. And I made a couple of mistakes. Obviously, I wanted to hide from the loss. I wanted to shield myself, didn't want to do any interviews. I was embarrassed of it. So I thought everybody else was embarrassed of me and thought I sucked. I forgot how good I was. I forgot how skilled I was. And then I kind of found myself getting comfortable with the self-pity and feeling sorry for myself at this point. And I think the UFC also helps you because you see the support. You know, of course you see the haters, but you see the support. You see the people behind you. You see the people talking about your losses. And when you talk about the guys that I've lost to, Charles Oliveira, who is the pound for pound best guy in the division now, and then Justin Gaethje, who has been a perennial top five guy since he walked into the UFC. When you're fighting the best guys in the world, there's a chance you could win or lose on any given night.
But it's even more than that, because when you look at the record, your UFC record, You look at an L. Now, there's an L like you gave to Dan Hooker, and then there's the L's that you had. In both those fights with Charles Oliveira and with Justin Gaethje, there was moments where you were – and I don't want to do the laces out thing and make you feel like that, but you were a punch away from being the victor. So it's so much different because it's like, all right, I'm coming off two losses, but man – that was a hair away from just two victories. I mean, I know it is what it is. It's already done, but it's not like they weren't competitive fights. It's not, you didn't have your moments. You know what I mean? So you know what level you are. I don't know if that's a frustrating thing. Is it more frustrating knowing that you had both those fights, or is it more reassuring for your confidence knowing that you had those fights, if you know what I mean?
No, of course. But I always say this too, man, the sport of mixed martial arts has blessed all of us on this call, all of us on this show. And I think about myself selfishly. I love the sport of mixed martial arts. I love the highs. I love the lows. I've had numerous fights where I went out there thinking I was going to be a 25-minute war or 15-minute war. I'd go out there, finish guy in the first 30 seconds and think, well, shoot, tonight it was just in the cards and I got lucky. This is just the sport of mixed martial arts. That's why we love it. So you can't enjoy the platform that we have and the lights and the admiration that we get from the fans and all the beautiful things that come with mixed martial arts, being a professional athlete, without also accepting the fact that you're going to lose, the fact that you're going to fall short in a world title fight when I thought I was destined to win the title against Charles Oliveira last May. I was 100% certain. I had never been more confident in my entire life. That was what was about to be scripted, and that was about what was about to come to pass. But it went down how it went down, and if nothing else, I learned a lot about myself. And if nothing else, here's where I'm at, boys. I think Had I not had those great fights and great performances against Charles Oliveira and Justin Gaethje, we wouldn't be having the highly anticipated rematches that were of either of those guys against myself of the two guys in the main event. There's not an MMA fan alive that doesn't want to see me fight Charles Oliveira again if he's the victor on Saturday night. And every single person on the planet who ever is even interested in mixed martial arts wants to watch me fight Justin Gaethje again in a 5-round title fight by the end of the year. So I've put myself in that position, not by my own accord. I didn't want to lose those fights, but I went out there and I put my best foot forward. So I put myself in a situation and I think I might fight the winner of this fight next.
Ooh, okay. You started answering because I was going to say, most people regarded that fight with Gaethje. That was like fight of the year, right? It was an amazing fight. So, and that's what I was about to, how does it feel to be fighting on a card? Your last opponent is now headlining, and how does that motivate you to go out there against this fight with Ferguson? Like I'm just, like you just said, does it make you want to go out there and make that statement? Because you make statements. You always have, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm going to make that statement and on that card and get ready, boys, right?
Yeah, I do, man. I'm in the making a statement business. You know, I've done it my entire career. It's just been on a much bigger platform under a very big microscope now that I'm in the UFC, and it's such a bigger platform. And I came in and I wanted to do exactly what I said I was going to do. I wanted to try to steal the show every single time I stepped inside the octagon, whether I was the main event or the first fight on the card. I didn't care. I was going to go out there in typical Michael Chandler fashion and put on a great show. So I was close to winning both of those fights, and it's great. I get to watch those guys. I'm gonna go get my hand raised against Tony Ferguson, go do a little bit of media backstage, come back out, sit cage side with my wife and my son, and watch those guys compete and keep my eye on them and make it known that I'm still one of the best guys in this division. I still have both of those guys' number. They know, they felt the power, they felt the pressure, they felt the presence of who I am when we fought just a couple months ago. So it's an interesting set of circumstances. I don't think I necessarily deserve the title shot next when it comes to rankings and all that kind of stuff. That's not up to me to decide. So we will see what happens.
Yeah, I mentioned right before you came on to Islam Makhachev. I can never say his Islam. He's I don't know if he's hurt or if he has a fight. But he seems like he's been holding out for a title fight. I've been hearing his name bounced around as possible to get this winner. Although for him fighting, you fighting Islam would not be a fight that would suck. I think every fan would love to see that as well. I don't think he would take that fight if he had a choice.
He knows in this sport, you can wait out and see if you get the title shot, let the division materialize. I'm not in that business. I'm in the business of fighting when I can. As soon as I'm healthy after my previous fight, I'm ready to book a fight and continue to climb the ladder. So yeah, we will see. I can tell you this: he's got a win streak. He's very talented. He's getting better and better names on his resume. Maybe he's the guy who deserves it next, but he doesn't have the history that I have with the two guys that are fighting for the title. So this is the fight business. It's the fight game. Sometimes things don't make a ton of sense to the masses, but they make a lot of sense to the UFC. They make a lot of sense to the fighters that make the matchup. So. We will see. You know, that kid's got a bright future. I'm worried about myself. Worried about getting a win on Saturday night and then watching those twos duke it out on the main event.
Makhachev, yeah, I was saying his name. But I also think you've had a higher level of competition than he has had as well.
Yeah, I mean that was the criticism, you know, and he would blame it on people not wanting to fight him, but you know. It was just it was part of the fight game. This is what we all have to do. We have to cut our teeth and we have to go through the fights that we need to go through, get the performances and the wins that we need to. And honestly, I'm just in the business of being a fighter, and I let my management and the UFC handle all that stuff of who I'm going to fight, when I'm going to fight them, and where I'm going to fight them. And we continue the road to the gold on Saturday night.
It's so great that you're fighting Tony Ferguson, which alone is going to be so exciting, and on the same card as the championship. But what the fuck was I about to say to you?
Something really profound.
Yeah, something really profound, and then and then my ADD kicked in.
I was just going to say, when it comes to the, like, the UFC embedded, what, like, you're all over it. You're all over the embedded this week. I love it. You know what I mean? But, and then you called Henry Hoops impression of a bird. Yeah. one of the best dad jokes of all time. How does he keep things light, right, during this training? Because this has been serious business for you, man. This is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it is serious business, man. And Henry's great, man. He's not just the best technical striking kickboxing coach on the planet. He's a leader. His demeanor, he keeps the fighters calm, but also gets them amped up when they need to get amped up. And yeah, what you see on Embedded, I like to give everybody all access to me. I'm the guy who will reach out to the Embedded and say, hey, I'm working out at this time. Hey, I'm doing medical checks at this time, because I know what it's like to not get cameras on me. I know what it's like to not be in the UFC. I know what it's like to be a world-class fighter who is underutilized, underappreciated, and underseen by the masses. So maybe people call me a camera hog or an attention, a guy who loves attention, but I love to give the fans access. Without the fans, who are we? Without the fans, we'd be some guys fighting in a basement somewhere. So that's why I love to do it. And Henry is the best coach on the planet.
I love Henry. I'm sorry, Jimmy, I remembered my question, and you know my fucking ADD. I'll forget it.
I've never seen you at a loss for words. That was really odd to watch.
It was weird, wasn't it? No, but I was asking, because I was reading here. You said yourself a few weeks ago, you consider yourself the perfect guy to welcome back McGregor. So I know you would like, I mean, everybody would love to see you fight a rematch with either guy, with whoever wins between Oliveira and Gaethje. But who the hell wouldn't want to see you fight McGregor? Why do you consider yourself the perfect guy to welcome him back, Michael?
I agree. I do think he is the perfect guy for me to fight next after this win. And I do think I have quickly become the most exciting guy in the division. Why do we love Conor McGregor? Obviously, his physical attributes, obviously his gifts that he has. Obviously, people look up to him and admire his ability to monetize himself, his brand, and everything he touched turning to gold in a monetary sense and a business sense. But Conor McGregor is the most exciting guy in combat sports, not just inside of the octagon, but the lead up, the hype, the build up, the attention. I believe that I have quickly become a guy who has captured people's hearts and minds and attention and want. And I'm a guy who can now put butts in seats. Nobody wants to miss my fights anymore. They know what they're going to get every single time. So if Conor wants a big fight, who I guess, you know, I sounds weird me proclaiming myself as a big name, but I have now become one of the guys in the UFC who's more exciting than me, who is on a bigger strength of schedule and busyness of schedule over the last 16 months. In 16 months, I will have come into the UFC, knocked out Dan Hooker, fought for the world title against Charles Oliveira, fight of the year against Justin Gaethje, and then now fighting Tony Ferguson. I am that guy. I showed up. I put my money where my mouth was. I didn't just talk the talk. I've been walking the walk. I'm the perfect guy for Conor to fight next, and it will be a huge fight whenever he wants it. Summer, fall, winter, holler at your boy.
Aren't you glad I remembered that question?
I'm so glad you remembered that question.
What do you think, too, having had your share, like you talked about the turbulence of losing three, Tony is in that position now. And for the first time in his career, he had, I think, two losses before that. And what do you think he is dealing with mentally? I mean, obviously, he's confident whenever he fights. But having as a person who's been there before, what do you think he is grappling with mentally being in this position?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you take a loss, it's just human nature to say, okay, we got to go to the drawing boards. We got to make some changes. You know, sometimes that's not the way it is. Sometimes you don't need to change a thing. Sometimes you just need to get back on the horse, keep training, and show up the next time and hope you get a W. I think Tony Ferguson's a consummate professional. He always shows up to fight, and there's nothing more scary than a guy who gets backed into a corner. You back a guy up into a corner, he's going to come out swinging with more ferocity, more tenacity, and more violence for a victory than we have ever seen. So that's the Tony Ferguson that I'm expecting to see on Saturday night. Unorthodox, in your face, high pace, hard to finish, crazy cardio, nonstop action. And it just so happens he's going to run into a buzzsaw who's got all those same attributes. And I'm excited to go out there and put on a show for the fans here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Just really quick on that. So the thoughts on Gilbert Burns saying, I just had fight of the year contender and he might just take it away from me. I can see how you're motivated to do that.
Well, first of all, I love Gilbert, man. Not only is he's literally probably one of my favorite professionals in the sport. And I say professional because I love his fight style. I get to train with him, but I watch the way he lives his life. He is the most professional guy I have ever been around, and I absolutely love him. My goal is never to get fight of the night. Let's be honest, boys. You get fight of the night, you're taking more damage, and it's a lot harder to earn that paycheck than going out there and finishing a guy. I want to make quick work of Tony Ferguson. I want to make quick work of every opponent that I have. It doesn't always work out that way, obviously, but I want to go out there, get a finish if I can, collect my paycheck, get my hand raised, kiss my wife and son, and then go take a vacation.
Awesome. Well, Michael, good luck on Saturday. This is an incredible fight. And you've been an explosion since you walked into the UFC. And I hope it's everything that you wanted it to be. I hope that the UFC and the experience has lived up to what you expected before you got here.
Everything and more, man. It is absolutely awesome. I am a 100% advocate for what the UFC has done for the industry, the entire industry. They built an entire sport. Yeah, there's other organizations, but I'm telling you right now, the UFC does things just differently. And that's why this is the biggest platform. And that's why we got the three best looking dudes on UFC Unfiltered. As
boss.
I have it back on.
Got me blushing. He got me blushing.
Good talking to you, man.
We got you, boys. I appreciate you guys. I'll see y'all after the win.
Okay, man. Good luck on Saturday.
How do you not love that kid? Oh, my.
Who cannot like Michael Chandler? You can't not like him.
Everything he says has been funny. And then again, like you said, though, his fight style. Oh, man, he's explosive. And I don't know about YouTube. I'm curious to see what Tony Ferguson does. But I want to see that explosive, you know, styles, that in and out, landing those big shots, utilizing that wrestling of Chandler. It'll be fun.
Is it wrong of me to wish that that what happened to that guy who jumped David Chappelle would happen to Will Smith? Like all the actors would dislocate his arm and beat him up.
Yeah.
Did you guys see what happened to the guy that jumped on?
What should have happened to him? Yeah.
Dave Chappelle, somebody jumped on stage at one of his comedy concerts, jumped on him.
Hollywood Bowl, yeah.
And his security got the guy. And they say, you know, there's a picture of the guy on the gurney going into the fucking ambulance. It looks like somebody put a Kimura on him because his arm is out. It's literally out.
Yeah.
And he got worked over. That's what should have happened to Will Smith.
Yeah, he got stomped.
Well, the scary thing is, see, that's what that, you know, your viral moment when you were sitting on Patna in the restaurant, right? And just kind of, but that was patience. The sad part is a lot of security and stuff there. Everybody's diving in and just get a pad leg of this dude. And they're all jumping and someone got a hold of an arm. Someone's got a hold of a neck and you don't know if you're getting choke squeezed or getting eye poked. Everybody's diving in and say, yeah, I got a piece of him. You know, look, I got a piece of his t-shirt, but you did it with simplicity and kept it under control. That's the scary thing. When a mob of security goes diving in, that guy was in trouble.
Yeah, that guy did something that could have been life-threatening. Who knows? The guy I had was a little sloppy drunk, a drunken white belt. I could take
it. But it's just the way that you handled it, as opposed to what if that was 15 people that thought they were getting into a fight? Everybody starts grabbing at the pant leg and they're just, and everybody wants to get a hold of them and stuff like that, right? And that's with that guy rushing the stage like that, having that many people come in with the adrenaline flying and not having that sense of, you know, I've got this move, and having that, you know what I mean? The fight style.
Maybe they'll think twice before rushing. The state.
You hope so. Although everyone doesn't have the security Chappelle has.
Exactly. What if little Jimmy's up there and somebody runs up to Jimmy and says, you're a joke. I hate Chip Chipperson. And they attack him.
Nobody would blame him. The audience would actually stand up like those dumb actors did for Will Smith. And they'd applaud. They would applaud. Now, let me ask you, what do you think of Oliveira Gaethje? We should just do a couple of picks, Matt. I'm curious.
We should. Jens, but what are you playing lately, though? Anything new on Twitch?
All I'm doing is watching fights. Like I said, we'll just be breaking down fights. I'm still stuck on Fortnite. We had to go with no build, and I'm hooked. Fortnite no build it's all right. Because, you know, those kids can build so dang fast. It's just, you fire one shot, and they've got an apartment complex up, and you're like, you can't find them. No build.
I build in Population 1 when I have to. When somebody gets to jump on me. That's the game I play. In VR.
popular. Is it?
Yeah. I don't know if you heard. I don't know if you got the memo. I just became a gold PJ. Thank you.
That's it. I'm clapping just because you sound excited. You sound happy.
Bump that off. Jimmy laughed. Jimmy has no respect for my video game.
He bumped it in.
I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means.
The VR side of it, though, would be fun, man. I want.
At level 60, you get a gold PJ, a gold check.
Oh, all right.
So, you know, I'm happy about it. So, listen, that's all I play. But you say you're not playing the games. You're doing more of the live talks. One day I'm going to do the Twitch. Trust me.
You got to do it. It's fun, man. Like, you know what? I'll tell you what. On Monday, you know, like one of these Mondays, we break down the fights, you know what I mean? Of everything that happened on Saturday. We get the clips and do all that. And then we have an interview. So, you know, switch it around, jump in and hang out and watch fights, man.
Invite me, dude.
Let me interview you. Yeah. I feel weird asking people, though. I'm like, they're going to just tell me no.
I would love to hang out, man.
All right, all I do is
go to my school and then I play video games, hang out with my kids. But listen, what other fights you guys want to preview here? What do you think of that?
The one that we haven't even talked about, really, Nama Yunus and Esparza. This is an ironic rematch, but, yeah. Right? But the champ is the one who got beat the first time and will have to deal with the wrestling. Right, the wrestling savagery of Carla Esparza, who is what, five? She's got a 5-fight win streak. But then we've got this Nama Yunus, who is 3-fight win streak and looking phenomenal doing it. What is going to be different this time? Is it the championship of Nama Yunus, or you know what I mean? Is Esparza, I've got a win over you, even though you have the belt. You know what I mean?
It was her only submission loss too, I think. And, you know, it was 2014, I want to say 8 years ago. So, I mean, maybe they're both probably remarkably different fighters. I'm going to guess Rose is a lot more confident than she was back then. But, yeah, you never know. Does the rematch of that fuck with somebody who has lost that way does it go into her head at all? I don't know.
And even though you're the champ, right? So that's what I'm really excited to see game plans on that one. It's like I've got the win, but I'm probably the underdog I'm the underdog, but I beat the champ before. Now it's like, well, the belt's on the line. Let's find out if you can do it again, right?
I'm looking at the card, and my first thought was it was a 3-rounder, but obviously it's a 5-rounder.
Yeah.
So that's a big difference. In a 3-round fight, it would be harder for Rose in a sense where with her takedowns, she might have to play catch up in a 3-round fight. That might be rough. But in a 5-round fight, it gives her way more chances to let her game go and to get her out of there. So that's interesting. The first time they fought, was it a 5-rounder or a 3-rounder?
3-round. I don't think they had main event. Wasn't the fight. Ironically, it would have been a 5-rounder now, right? Because it was the main event of the Ultimate Fighter or something. They were the main.
They fought once and it was a 3-rounder.
Yeah.
So that's better for Rose that it's a 5-rounder, obviously. You know, are we doing any picks? Talk to me.
Well, let's do Oliveira Gaethje. I have to bet with my head and not my heart. I think I want Gaethje to win because I want Gaethje to experience having the belt. I think that he's been so exciting. He's one of everyone's favorite fighter to watch. So I want to see him have the belt. I want to see him experience that. Oliveira has had it. He's gotten to experience that. But I think Oliveira is just on the ground. He's just too dangerous. I'm going to take Oliveira. 3rd round stoppage submission.
Gaethje, 1st round knockout.
Man, I hope I'm wrong.
Jiu-jitsu guy, man. I love jiu-jitsu.
I hope I'm wrong. Jones
gets a submission, I'm not going to be upset. You know what I'm saying? But I do believe that Gaethje's his wrestling, his counter, his ability to keep it up is better than what people think. And I think it's better than, even though Dustin Poirier beat him, he's got that anti-grappling where he can keep it up. And I think he's got the big shots, and I think he's going to end up, you know, landing one or two. Because Charles has been getting touched. He has been getting hurt.
Yeah, but one of Gaethje's biggest weapons is those leg kicks. Do you think that, again, against a guy like Oliveira, who's really good at taking people down, that he loses a little bit of that?
Loses a little bit of a leg kick? No, I think he'll still kick his legs.
But, I mean, I'm saying, will Oliveira use that and take him down?
I don't think it's as easy to take him down as Khabib made it look like. You know what I mean? I think Chandler even got him down once, and he scrambled back up. So that's Chandler. So, yeah. I mean, you've seen Charles Oliveira use some really good grappling versus, I'm not saying guys who aren't great grapplers, but Tony Ferguson, Dustin Poirier. But for him to use it versus, you know, you got to understand. I mean, I don't know. I just think it's going to be Justin's night. First round.
I hope you're right because I love Justin. So I do hope you're right.
First round knockout. But hey, what do you think, Jens? Come on.
I like that if it's Gaethje, I'd like that early explosion that knocks out Oliveira, but I don't know about in time. See, I can't because the same thing. You got to think about what happened. I'm mixing it again. Here it goes. But I mean, you got to think about it like again with Chandler. He went from being dropped, dang near finished. He comes out the next round and just puts a dart on Chandler and destroys him. So it's like he had that one opportunity. I just don't know if Gaethje will, I don't know, but Gaethje just he hurts people. And I don't know. And again, to talk about that low calf kick, is that too low of a kick? Do you want to reach down that low if you are Oliveira? Maybe is it safe because the kick is lower? Mid-level, he catches it, goes for the takedown. I'm excited. I'm excited for both because, again, like you said, Gaethje, I'd love to see him win the belt. But Oliveira, I don't know anybody short of Chuck Liddell had to go through a road of that many fights to finally get that title shot of, you know, 25 fights later. And I just don't know if he wants to let it go anytime soon. See, it's tough. I don't, yeah. But at some point I'll, you know, by Friday, I'm like, all right, I'll this one. Maybe.
Your pick made me dizzy. Cause you didn't even make a pick.
I know. Did you see how I whiffed around it? If and if.
All right. Rose and Carla. What do you think, Matt? Rose and Carla.
But I will not come back to you and say, hey, I told you Gaethje would win. That's I'm so not going to say, yeah.
Like, he can win by early stoppage or Oliveira could get a submission. So I think you got all the bases covered.
I covered it up. That's it.
What do you think, Rose, Carla? What do you think?
I'm going to say Rose, fourth round stoppage in a brutal fight.
I'm going to take Rose's decision. I think it goes the distance. I mean, I could also take Rose, you know, head kick like against Wiley. I think she knocked. He would have. But I'm going to get Rose's decision.
Okay.
Being they're both sucker punch fighters, and I'm on that same team, management team. I'm going to wish them all the best. I can't wait to watch the fight. I'll be doing the watch along, and I'll enjoy every moment of it.
Hey, Jens, switch over. What's your next pick?
Number one. Okay. I
Yeah,
my man.
Chandler Oliveira. What do you think? I'm sorry, Chandler Ferguson.
Chandler Ferguson. All right. I'm gonna say Chandler by you know what?
I'm giving him a first round stoppage.
Really?
I'm giving Chandler a first round stoppage.
I'm with you. I'm going with you on that one. I picked one. And it'll be nothing against Ferguson. I haven't picked on the other two, but I just think I'm not sure where he's at after that fight with Gaethje. That took a lot out of him. And he's just really, really tough. And you look at that 38 years old, and we just don't duck as many of the punches. And it kind of catches up to that fighter that when you go out on your shield, age is definitely starts to be your worst enemy in fights like that. But Chandler's just so explosive. And I think if he does do it, it's got to be early because, you know what I mean, as we get sweatier and tired and things start to happen and Ferguson stays in your face, it could break anybody. But Chandler in the first, I just love the kid.
Well, I'm going to go with Chandler by decision because Tony Ferguson could take a licking, keep on kicking. I don't know. But
I like it.
All right, what else we got, guys? Are we doing any more?
Shogun. Let's do Shogun against Ovin St. Preux. Wow. Again, that first one was Shogun. He got tagged and he was a little off balance and he got knocked out. But he did something interesting in that first round. There was only one round of the fight. But he drilled OSP's leg with a beautiful leg kick that kind of kicked his leg all the way back. So I don't know if he was kind of half moving it out of the way and then it just the kick moved it or if he got hit that hard. But I think if he can do more of that and put OSP on the ground, he has a decent shot. I love OSP. He's one of my favorites. So? I know. He's coming off two losses. OSP, second round stoppage.
I'll match you with that, and I'll go Shogun by decision. Okay. Only because I think OSP's been looking a little nonchalant in there. I win one, I lose one. He seems a little, I'm not going to say unmotivated, but I don't know. I don't know what I saw last.
I'm going to bypass the 39-year-old and go with the 40-year-old and say Hua because it's Hua. I got to do it, period. It's decision, but it's Hua. Yeah.
Well, let's ask Mr. Al Pacino. What do you think? Who do you choose? Who do you think will
no,
win?
No, don't do it.
She has a great ass. Mr. Al Pacino, who do you think would win?
Jens, thank you so much for joining us. This was a great.
Thank you all for having me. I appreciate it. It means a lot.
And let me promote properly. Hold on. Let me promote for Jens properly. Live on UFC's Twitch channel, Friday night, previewing the event. You're going to watch some of the best fights of these athletes on the main card. And you'll be live on Twitch during 274 on Saturday, doing a watch along fight companion with Angela Hill, who we love, and TSM. Viss, who's a Twitch streamer influencer, V-I-S-S. And Jen, you're a really entertaining guy, so I'm sure you're fun to watch on Twitch. And, let's talk again after these fights.
I love it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Both of you. Thank you for having me.
Love to have you again soon.
Anytime.
Speaking of Twitch, yo, Twitchy, what do you want to follow? Jimmy, I love you. What do you want to plug?
Well, buddy? You're not wrong. Tonight, I'm running my hour at the Fat Black Pussycat here in New York, Friday, Saturday. I'm going to be in Bridgeport, Connecticut at the Stress Factory. And that's it. I'm on Cameo. Whatever. Do you want to see me?
Jimmy, you're so blown away by my Al Pacino Hua thing, aren't you?
It was good. It was good.
Thank you so much. Does everybody, before we go, let's do that. Let's say Hua in Al Pacino voice. Ready?
Okay. Three.
Go ahead, Jens.
Wait, we're doing, we're not doing all at
the same time? We should do it together.
Time? Hey, no, three, no. Two,
Jimmy's
one, go.
I know we're a bad boy. Let me have Al Pacino picking Shogun Hua. Hua! Say it again.
Hua!
Jimmy!
Shogun.
Goodbye.
I don't want to do it.
Let's plug the fights.
Yes. Oh, this. Obviously, Saturday night, UFC 274. It's at the Footprint Center in Phoenix, Arizona. Early prelims are 6 o'clock. The prelims are 8 p.m. Of course, the main event, 10 o'clock. And it looks like Randy Brown, Chaos Williams is the main event of the prelims now, which is great. Matt Schnell, of course, Brandon Royval. We had Brandon on. A great, great night of fights. And Matt, I'll talk to you after the fights.
Definitely. Jens, thanks, man.
Thanks, thank buddy. You very much, bros. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right.
Take care, Jens. Thank you.
See ya.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.